بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على سيد الرسل وخاتم الانبياء وعلى اله الازكياء واصحابه الاتقياء اما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وان تعدوا نعمه الله لا تحصوها صدق الله العظيم. A person once came to a scholar and he asked him a question. He said, "Oh Sheikh, my life has become very stale and mundane. I don't enjoy it anymore. How can I begin to experience those spiritual moments that those who came before us experienced? How can I learn to cry in my ibadah? My eyes have gone very dry." So the Sheikh gave him a very simple answer. He said to him, Al-abara min al-ibra. Al-abara, the first word in Arabic, means tears. Al-abara min al-ibra means they come from reflection. Tears come from reflection. The connection of the eyes are with the heart. And if you want to spiritually really enjoy, you have to first learn to be a thinker. Someone who worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without reflecting, without thinking, they can never achieve what a person can achieve while they reflect and think. That's why throughout the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is encouraging us to ponder, to reflect. أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. Why are they not reflecting on the Quran? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَخْفَالُهَا. Or are their hearts really locked off? A person whose heart is locked may not be able to reflect, but the person whose heart is open, you're supposed to reflect. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you your heart. You look at the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and every small thing was very big for him. There was nothing that was too small for him that he wouldn't give time to. You know, I remember one of my teachers once mentioning that everything the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam possessed was significant. You know, and it was so important for him that if you read the books of Shama'il, those books that discuss the personal life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one thing you'll note is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam actually had names for his possessions. There was a name for example, the particular pot he used, or the particular cup he had, or everything had a name. And the reason why he named these things is because these things were more than just objects. That pillow was just more, it was more than just a pillow. His back scratcher was more than just a back scratcher. The mat he laid on was more than just a mat he laid on. He had a connection with that. And you study the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and what you notice is in a 24-hour day, how many du'as is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam making? How many du'as is the Prophet making in a 24-hour day? Non-stop. It's as if his tongue never stopped. He just kept making du'a to Allah, kept making du'a to Allah. And I kind of like thinking of his engagement in du'a, kind of like our obsession with social media. You know how everywhere we go, we like to check in, you know, at Starbucks, at the Minna session, at MSA session, at ISNA, at Giordano's, on Divan. Have you guys been to Divan yet? Right. Yes, some of you guys have, mashallah, mashallah. Very good. It's a part of the Hajj, you know, when you go to Mecca, you go to Medina as well. You can't come so far and not visit the Haram. Like, that's our sanctuary. Everywhere, everything the Prophet did, it was so meaningful to him. You know how we check in for everything, telling everyone, hey guys, I'm here, hey guys, I'm there. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had this spiritual connection with Allah that everything he did, he checked in with Allah. Ya Allah, just woke up. Alhamdulillah alladhi ahyana ba'da ma amatana wa ilayhi nushur. About to eat right now, Allahumma bismika, bismillahi wa ala barakatillah. About to drink milk right now, Allahumma barik lana fihi wa zidna min. Something sweet's on its way, Allahumma rzuqni halawat al-iman. About to finish off my meal, alhamdulillahi alladhi at'amana wa saqana. He's constantly reading, making du'as, connecting back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the small things and the great things. The second thing, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, every time he's thanking Allah, why is he thanking Allah? The reason why he's thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is because he realizes the value of this. Had it not been for the favor of Allah, wallahi al-azim, you and I cannot have another meal today. And if you don't believe that, go and ask those who are in Syria right now. 10 years ago, they never imagined they would be where they are today. Yesterday morning, I saw a picture posted by one of my good friends from Medina Munawwara, Sheikh Hasib. He posted something very interesting. He posted a picture of a refugee camp in Jordan. And he said this picture is to give perspective of what the refugee situation is of the Syrians right now. And when I looked at that picture, I couldn't believe it. It was as if I was looking at the campsite in Mina. You know, for those of you who've gone for Hajj before, so many tents. And I was thinking to myself, just a decade ago, these young kids probably thought, go to college, get a job, get married, have kids, get a nice house, go on vacation, you know, travel the world. But they didn't know that this is what was going to happen to them. And this is the favor of Allah. And I'm going to come to that, how that's a favor of Allah too. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But right now what I want to talk about, every small and great thing, you have to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it. So when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is drinking milk, he's not just drinking it, he's thanking Allah. Ya Allah, had you not provided this, I wouldn't have had it. And this sort of reflection is very easy or very common amongst those people who had to earn what they have. Those people who are born with what they have, they're not easy at making reflections. Because they've been born into it. They don't understand it. That's why you'll notice that many people who accept Islam are much more firmer in their belief than those who are born Muslims. And I can say this because I can tell you, within my own family, I have seen very few people in my life who have iman like my mother. And I tell my mom, because you accepted Islam, your faith is very different than my faith. I was born into the religion. I don't know what it means to live outside this religion. I've never worshipped anyone other than Allah. Walillah alhamd. But for you, you've come a long journey. And for you to do sajda, it's much more meaningful because you've earned what you have today. And when a person has nothing and they go and achieve that something, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came from that background. He had nothing in his life. And now that he has it, he's thanking Allah continuously. Oh Allah, thank you. Oh Allah, thank you. The third thing, it teaches us the reflective state the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lived in. He didn't live in a materialistic state where things were all about material. Here's the phone and that's it, get on with life. Here's the hijab, put it on, get on with life. Here are your garments, put it on and get on with life. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam realized that every moment of his life ultimately had to have a purpose that connected him ultimately to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every moment in his life had to connect him to Allah, otherwise that was a wasted moment. So how he made every moment of his life a reflective moment was that every time he did something, he thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it. He's drinking milk, he's not just drinking it, he's saying, Allahumma barik lana fihi wazidna min. Oh Allah, give us blessing in this milk and increase us in it. Look at the reflective state of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's eating dessert, he's eating something sweet. When I talk about dessert, I'm not talking about some kind of trifle, I'm talking about his dates. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would eat dates, he would read a dua, or something sweet, not just only dates, anything sweet. He would read the dua, Allahumma rizukni halawat al-iman. Look at that reflective state. His mouth is experiencing sweetness, so he's praying to Allah, oh Allah, just as my mouth right now, my taste buds are experiencing this beautiful sweetness, I want my heart to also experience the sweetness of iman. Reflective state. He's standing in front of the mirror looking at himself and saying, MashaAllah, look at this guy, Muhammad Rasulullah. I mean, if there's anyone who looked good, everybody, who was it? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right? And we all agree on this. Such a handsome and beautiful person. Allahu Akbar. Just thinking about him brings a smile to our face. What a beautiful person he must have been. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's standing in front of the mirror, and rather than saying, man, you look great, he says, Allahumma ahsanta khalqi. Oh Allah, you made me beautiful. He's not saying I did it. Allahumma ahsanta khalqi. Oh Allah, you made it great. And that shows you another thing, how he was content with the way Allah made him. And he was perfect anyway, but just a contentment. There was no need for additions to the body or to add to remove anything. He was happy the way he was. Allahumma ahsanta khalqi. Oh Allah, you made my creation so beautiful. Externally, I'm so beautiful. Fahassin khulqi. So give me beauty internally as well. A constant state of reflection. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reflecting. And like I said earlier, this is something that when you learn to reflect on the favors of Allah, you become much more happier, because you begin to notice the small things. You don't need to drive 10 miles to see an advertisement. There's an advertisement on every corner. You know, there's so much to see here. There's so much that you have right now. You don't need to travel across the world to have a beautiful experience. There are people in the world who, trust me, have never ever gone on a holiday their entire life. Do you guys know that? There are people in this world who never go on a holiday. They don't know what a vacation means. Vacation to them is a Hollywood, Bollywood concept. They had never gone on a holiday or vacation. But they don't need one. It's because they've learned to enjoy the things they have with them. Their small cardboard is so much more meaningful than our 5-bedroom house because it has meaning behind it. And that's what we're trying to understand. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that don't run the length, enjoy the depth of what you already have. The person sitting next to you right now that you walk into this room with is all you actually need. If you were just to look at the person next to you, you don't value that person enough. The fact that they thought that you were necessary and you guys valued each other in a way that you walked in this room together means that you have much more in common than even you realize. You know, every person, we're so oblivious of the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a person who can't be thankful to Allah won't be thankful to people. And the person who isn't thankful to people will not be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, generally when we talk about the favors of Allah, it commonly becomes an issue of, I have good health, the world is very beautiful, thank Allah. These are all great things. And trust me, you know, as the poet says, وَفِي كُلِّ شَيْءٍ آيَةٌ تَدُلُّ عَلَىٰ أَنَّهُ وَاحِدٌ. That in everything there is a sign that shows the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can look at a leaf, and that leaf will tell you, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ مُحَمَّدُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. You don't need to go to some, you know, some seminar or some course to go and learn the tawheed. Everything teaches you the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with reflection. But the point, one thing I would like to discuss today is the importance of reflecting and thanking the favors of Allah in every aspect. Not just what's directly the creation of Allah, we are all directly the creation of Allah, but what I mean is, how about thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's favors by thanking the people around us? And not just looking at them as associates, not just looking at your family members, your friends, your teachers, the people who are around you, your neighbors, as people that are, you know, associates of yours, but actually looking at them as a favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Going back home and looking at your mother and saying that she's a favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Had I not had this lady in my life, what would my life actually be? Would I actually know what it means to be loved? Who in the world has actually loved you the way your mother has loved you for the first 20, 30 years of your life? Anyone that has claimed love before the mother or after the mother can only try to match the mother, but she can never come close to the mother. And not only with the mother, that goes with the father too, by the way. With the parents. Because a parent's love for their child is so great. I'm telling you, when a parent hugs their child, as a child you can tell your mom, Mom, I love you, but mom or dad won't have words to say in return to you. Their heart is just experiencing the love. And they're so happy that they can embrace you, looking at them as a favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you never realize the value of a favor. You won't realize the value of a favor. You won't realize the true value of a favor until one day it leaves you. The day you receive that phone call that your mother has left the world, your father has left the world, I kid you not, your world will come crumbling down. Because you realize the biggest favor of Allah to you has just left you. And when I think about this myself, my own parents leaving, it shocks me to my core. Because I think, I can't imagine life without them. I don't know who else I can call in the world, and the first thing they'll ask me is, what did you eat today? There's no one else that's ever going to ask me that. There's no one else I can ask, and the first thing they'll ask me is, how are you doing? They'll only be concerned about me. I can't ask her any question. Every time I call my mom, it's an interview about me. I'm the focus of her life. And that's with every child sitting here. How about being thankful to them? Or going out to your siblings and being thankful to them. Or reaching out to your children and being thankful to them. We're so lucky that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us these people who surround us. But unfortunately, because of this materialistic world that we live in, we've lost our connection with reflecting. And because we've lost the ability to reflect, we now live in a superficial world, something that doesn't even exist. And we can't appreciate the people that are actually around us, and we're looking for love and joy in the corners of the world without realizing that it actually already is with us in our life. These people already exist. And I share this story a lot. I've shared this story many times, and the reason why I share this particular story is because for me, this is a lesson in my life that I witnessed with my own eyes of someone who really regretted not banking in on the bounty when they had it. And many of you may have heard this before, probably in some class that I've taught the prophetic code, and this is a part of my class, but I want to share this one little small story with you. You know, there was a man who was in my community, a young man. He used to come to our community, a regular attendee in our masjid in Chicago, and he became ill. And his illness became very bad. His health deteriorated. He was hospitalized. He was on the ventilator. And literally, the doctors gave up hope on him, and they said, it's time for you guys to just let him go. He was 16 years old, very young kid. His mother called me and said to me, Sheikh, we've decided to take our child off the ventilator and he'll be passing away, we'd like for you to be present there. I said to her auntie, I will be there. When I came there, I was sitting down next on the chair, and the mother was standing by her child, holding her child's hand, and I didn't know what I just agreed to do. I just agreed to witness a child pass away while the mother is holding that child's hand. That's something that's unbelievable. It's something very different. And I stood there by this mother watching her, and she's holding her child's hand. The doctor removed the equipment, and the mother was standing by her side while her child wasn't so much, it looked like he was in pain. They said he wasn't on pain because of the medication they gave him. He was going through so much, and the mother was holding his hand. She was biting her lip, and she was crying over his face and saying to him, my son, nothing will happen to you as long as I'm with you. You're in pain right now, but I swear to Allah, I'm your mother, and I'm making dua for you. And I'm going to make dua for you until you die and after you die. She's just mumbling, and she's making dua for him and crying and crying and crying. And then she said to the doctor, when his final moments come in life, let me know. When he's about to die, let me know. And the doctor said to her that these are his final moments. He's going to pass away now. You know what she did? She leaned forward and kissed him. And she kissed him right till the end, until his body stopped moving. When his body was still, that's when she stopped. She let go, and I looked at her, and I saw this lady that was broken. She was broken. And I got up and said to her, auntie, you know, I came to give you some support, but I feel like I need some support too. This is very difficult to even witness this. I don't know what it means to stand in your shoes right now. And she said to me, I didn't call you for support for that. I have Allah. The reason why I called you is because my son used to enjoy your company, and I didn't get a chance to tell him how much I actually loved him. I didn't get that chance. But I swear by Allah, the day he was born, I was the first one to hug him, and he came into this world while I was making dua for him, and I was the first one to kiss him. And just as at the beginning of his life, I was the one who loved him the most, and I kissed him first, and I hugged him first, and I made dua for him first, I want you to be a witness to Allah on the Day of Judgment, that I am that same mother who hugged him last, kissed him last, made dua for him last, and I will always make dua for him. And I thought to myself, subhanAllah, what wouldn't this mother give right now to just go embrace her child and say to her that she loved him? And she did, I'm sure she did many times. But this is a question for all of us. Do we go to the people that are around us and actually tell them that we're thankful to them? Because this is a part of being thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man lam yashkur an-nas lam yashkur Allah." Who hasn't thanked people, hasn't thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What about thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the house that we have? We're going to drive back home at the end of this convention to a home that's secured for us. That's not our concern. Our concern is getting to the airport on time, making sure they have a nice beverage for us that's of our preference on the plane, getting the right seat that we want, and making sure the person that comes to pick us up picks us up at the right time. You know, all these concerns of ours are so petty and small. They're so petty and small. If you listen to, if people from the third world or people from war-stricken countries were to listen to our issues, they would laugh at us and they would say, trade your life with my life right now, please. Take my life for a day and live it. You'll find out what difficulty is. And that leads me to another issue. When a person experiences a favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Muslims we believe everything in life is a favor of Allah. Some favors are open favors, some favors are hidden favors. Everything in life is a favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even a calamity is a favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but you may seem to understand that as a hidden favor because its fruits are not apparent, they manifest themselves at the right time. So when you experience something in life, it's important, how do you balance yourself? That's why you'll find in the Quran and also in the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, these two spiritual characteristics that I'm going to mention very soon are mentioned side by side. And what are the two? Sabr and shukr, yes. Being thankful to Allah and being patient. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends you one of His favors, one of His bounties, if it's apparently beneficial and you see how great it is and you enjoy its fruits, you thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it. And if that bounty of Allah comes to you in a way that's difficult for you to understand, you don't understand why you lost your job. Maybe it's possible 2 days later that job is going to take your iman away. You don't know. Allah knows the unseen. It's a difficult, it's tough love. But when tough love comes, you have to be patient. And you rely on Allah, Ya Allah, my love for you is such, my submission for you is such, that I'm just going to leave this one to you. You know what's best for me. Let the best be something that makes me stronger. Something that brings me closer to you. Oh Allah, never afflict us with a calamity that takes you away from you. And never give us a blessing, never take us a calamity that takes us away from you, and don't give us a blessing that also takes us away from you. You know, there's a great scholar in Islamic history by the name of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala. You guys have heard of his name? Yes? He's a very interesting figure in Islamic history. And not only from his scholarship, but also from a timeline historically. He comes to the world at a very interesting time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends him to the world, you know, as a human being, at a time where the world is going through crisis. We've just been hit by the Crusades. We've just been hit by the Mongols. Millions of Muslims have died. Millions. In a very short window. 50, 60 years. Millions have just died. And a little more than that, give or take, let's put a century onto it, okay? A century onto it, and a large number of Muslims have died. And Christianity is now pumping in the country because they brought their crusades there, a lot of their priests remain, and so on and so forth. So Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, people came to him and he noticed that their resolve was broken. Because they were going through so much, people didn't have the ability to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they had become so distant from Allah that he said one thing very interesting to them. He said to them that I prefer a test from Allah that brings me closer to Him than a favor that takes me away from Him. You guys understand that? It's the test of Allah that brings you close to Him. Tell me, had we not had our job interviews and our major tests coming in life, how many of us would actually even make dua to Allah? How many of us would even give sadaqah had we not asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for assistance in our time of difficulty? Even though it shouldn't be restricted only to that, الَّذِينَ يَحْمَدُونَ اللَّهَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ. You thank Allah in the times of easy and ease and difficult. But you know, our difficulties are actually a bounty from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When our child is ill, we make dua to Allah. When our parents are ill, we make dua to Allah. These dua, these hands that have become rusted because they haven't made dua to Allah in so long, they raise at the time of calamity and difficulty. And he's saying, I prefer that calamity and difficulty because it ultimately connects me to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So everything in life is a favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's exactly why the Quran says, إِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ. Even if you could count the favors of Allah, and you can never encompass them. The scholars, they say, why does the Quran say, if you could count the favors of Allah, if you could? So some scholars, they say, the reason is because the favors of Allah are so many, you actually can't count them, which makes clear sense. But however, some scholars, they say, the reason why Allah says, if you could, isn't because of your ability to count, but it's your ability to understand they are the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you even know what is a favor of Allah? When you look around you, do you even understand what a favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually is? So, this is the issue. Now, what's the solution? So, let's talk about the solution. There's a famous scholar by the name of Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala. He wrote a beautiful book on, you know, advice on spirituality and how to grow spiritually. Many of you may have heard of it. For those of you who haven't, it's called Madarij al-Salikin Bayna Manazili Iyaka Na'budu Wa Iyaka Nasta'in. That's the name of the book. Okay. Now, in this book, he talks about the idea of shukr, thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says that when a person wants to be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your thanks to Allah should manifest itself on three levels. First and foremost, verbally thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if that's via a favor of someone, you go to that person and say, thank you, I love you for the sake of Allah. I appreciate your company. You know, go and say good words to people. Words are free. Why are we so stingy with them? Why not just say something to someone to make them happy? You don't understand the power your words have. A generous person is someone who's generous with their words. And every person can be generous with them. Ibn Sirin rahimahullah ta'ala, it is said regarding him that he was so generous with his words that every day, every person he met, at some point in their interaction, he would make them smile. He would use his tongue as a paintbrush to paint a smile on every person's face, thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with your words. The second thing Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala says is that you thank Allah with your heart, meaning internally, you love the one who favored you. Your parents favored you, you have love for them. Allah favored, and if you started counting the favors of Allah, truly reflecting and pondering over them, can you even imagine where your love for Allah would be? Through that roof. As Shaykh was talking about the sky wouldn't even stop it. It'd go right through because Allah has showered so many favors upon us. And my friends who are in medicine, when they talk about the human body and the anatomy and how there are so many intricacies in the human body, it just increases my faith. increases my faith because I know that this is a favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He gave me all the research that the human mind can produce in 2 millenniums without me even wanting it, without me even asking for it. Forget 2 millenniums, for as long as human beings have been around. You know, He gave that to me out of His favor for me, out of His love for me. He gave me a gift that I'll never understand because He covered it in skin and all of it is within. You know, there are favors that are hidden. So thanking, loving that person with your heart. And the third thing is to thank the individual with your body parts, with the jawarih. And what does that mean? Thanking that person with your body parts by using that favor for obedience. You understand? So let's say, for example, your father buys you a car. You thank your father by not using that car to disobey him. You know, you use that favor in obedience. And the last thing I want to say before I close is that out of all of the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no doubt that the greatest favor of Allah is Islam. The greatest favor of Allah. Whether you have family with you or not, whether you have health or not, always thank Allah for Islam. Every morning, every evening, if there's one thing you can take away from this gathering, you make dua to Allah, Alhamdulillah alladhi hadana li hada wa ma kunna linahtadiya lawla an hadana Allah. All praises for Allah who guided us to this religion, and had it not been for the favor of Allah, we wouldn't be guided. Alhamdulillah ala ni'matil Islam wa kafabiha ni'ma. All praises for Allah for guiding us towards Islam. And what a beautiful favor of Allah that is. So with that, we close. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all of His favors upon us. And we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for blessing us with favors that are hidden and also apparent. And we seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for not recognizing these favors. And we ask Him to allow us to recognize them in whatever little time remains in our lives. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.